Some of you kids know Jesus, you've placed your faith in him, and yet you want to obey, but it's so hard and you fail. We all understand that, right? Run to Jesus. You say how? Pray. Listen to his word. Hide it in your heart. Sing it. Ask your parents to read it to you. Teach you about Jesus. Let it dwell richly. Turn to the Lord Jesus.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we continue our look at how believers are to raise our children, that if we will listen and obey, will keep us from crushing little hearts.
Yes, Dave, indeed, we're going to see today that we fathers are not to exasperate our children, that we might not crush their little hearts. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And as we look at the scriptures, we're going to see some practical examples from the scriptures on how not to exasperate your children. It should be very informative.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
It pleases God when we obey him by faith as adults, right? And here it simply says, it's well-pleasing. You want to be a God-pleaser? Obey your parents. Now, notice, let's look for some other reasons. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to go back and forth between these two parallel passages. But Ephesians 6:1, and I'll read this for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's the context of the relationship with the Lord, right? It's in the sphere of a relationship with Jesus, right? For this is right. This is the right thing to do. It is the dikaios, that means righteous. It is the righteous thing to do. Some of you kids and teens might struggle with what God's will is for you. Well, the right thing is to obey your parents. The right thing is to obey your parents. Your parents may say things you don't like, but obey them in everything. As long as it's not causing you to sin, you obey them because God has placed them in authority over you and he is preparing you for submitting to him later on in the context of salvation. Okay? It's really important. What is God's will for children? Be obedient to your parents in all things. That's God's will. Now, why else to obey? Notice in Ephesians 6, there's another reason. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the earth. It's actually dangerous to disobey your parents. It's physically dangerous to disobey your parents. Your life might get cut short. Now, the context here really comes from the Old Testament, although it is repeated in the New Testament. In the law, in Exodus 20:12, we have honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land in which the Lord gives you. Now, how would your days be cut short? Certainly by foolishness, but your days could also be cut short by dishonoring your parents. Guess what? In the law, if you cursed your parents, that was not a good deal. Or stroke your parents. Exodus 21:15, whoever strikes a father or mother shall surely be put to death. Hey, your days aren't going very long there. You disobey your parents and the law and the old covenant, you're done. Because this directly relates to how we should relate to God. You see? So, in Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. You disobey, you dishonor your parents. Now, we all sin, we've all done it, but you live that way, a continual habitual dishonoring of your parents. You're not convicted and confessing it. I'm sorry, Lord, that was wrong, right? You live that way, you're as good as dead. The birds are going to be picking your eyes out. Earlier, I was watching those vultures fly around. I'm thinking, there's something dead out there. Birds are going to pick it out, right? Very vivid consequence of dishonoring your parents because it's a picture of dishonoring God, okay? It's very important, okay? So then, in the Old Testament context, honor your father and mother. There's vivid consequences. And now here in the New Testament, if you don't, it reveals a heart problem, right? It does. If you don't honor your parents, there's a heart problem. And guess what? Kids have heart problems. All of us did. All of us came into this life with heart issues. We had hearts that were stained by sin because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, some of you might be continually disrespectful and defiant to your parents. Some of you listening might be that way. You don't want to please God. You don't care about Jesus. But today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You see, because the wages of sin is death. The consequences are eternal hell. But if you recognize your sin and you turn to Jesus, who died for your sins and rose from the dead, you say, save me, Lord Jesus. He'll save you. You'll be delivered from your sin. Repent, believe, and be forgiven. What a wonderful thing. Now, some of you kids know Jesus. You've placed your faith in him, and yet you want to obey, but it's so hard and you fail. We all understand that, right? Run to Jesus. You say how? Pray. Listen to his word. Hide it in your heart. Sing it. Ask your parents to read it to you, to teach you about Jesus. Let it dwell richly. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me obey mommy. Help me obey daddy. Help me. That's a prayer he's going to answer. You believe and trust in him, he will answer you. And then when you fail, which we do, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Jesus will help you today. One simple command for children, obey your parents in all things. Be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Well, maybe, kids, you can think of a disobedient time that you did. You disobeyed and you didn't confess it. Now it's time to go, Lord, I'm sorry that I was wrong. Just admit it. He'll forgive you. You'll be cleansed. Okay, so that's the children's responsibility. Obey your parents in the Lord. Later on, we'll see that it's good for parents to understand this, too, because you say, what's your job? Obey. What's your one command? Obey mommy and daddy. You know, that's pretty simple, right? Well, now look at our passage here. It's going to go to the father's responsibility, and I think we're going to see some things relating to mothers also and parents. Back in our passage, Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. Look at how gracious God is. God does not want parents to mess their kids up through coming and raising them and disciplining them in the wrong way. He doesn't want that. Right on the heels of children obey is a protective statement for children, that fathers would function properly. It's really wonderful. He says here, fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. And in Ephesians 6:4, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So concerning the father's responsibility, I want to share two things, the things they're not to do and the things they are to do. Well, first of all, what are they not to do? Notice the warning. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. This is directed to fathers here right now, not parents. Certainly mothers can exasperate them, but here it's directed to fathers. Fathers, do not exasperate. We could be tough guys, right? We are in charge of the household. We can lay down the law on our kids, right? We need to be careful. We need to be cautious. Children are to obey in all things, but yet we are to obey the Lord also in all things in how we relate to our kids, as we're going to say. I do believe the principle applies to mothers, but here it is directly to fathers. Now, that doesn't mean mothers are not involved, as we'll see. We saw that wives are to submit to their husbands, right? It's supposed to be a relationship, a love relationship, where they work together as one flesh, raising children, right? But here, we see that mothers, also in Scripture, mothers and fathers, are to both instruct both sides. We'll see this later on, but Proverbs 1:8, hear my son, your father's instruction, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Okay? But here we see that fathers are ultimately responsible in the discipline, which means parents work as a team together in the Lord with the father as the head of the household, working together to do God's will in relationship to children. A few passages. We know that it's the men that are to discipline, we'll see. Doesn't mean wives aren't to discipline under the father's authority. We'll talk about that. But Deuteronomy 8:5, thus you are to know in your heart the Lord God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son accepts his father's discipline. Proverbs 15:5, a fool rejects his father's discipline. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son. Ephesians 6:4, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It is primarily the father's responsibility to institute, as we'll see, discipline, which includes training, instruction, and chastisement. It doesn't mean the mother is not involved. They are absolutely involved, as we'll see. But it's a team with the father as the sovereign head over the family. They're ultimately responsible. It doesn't mean that wait till your father gets home. Sometimes the brothers need to do the discipline that the father would implement if they were there and they work together as a team, right? So here, back to our passage. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. It's a present tense imperative command. You can almost say, stop exasperating your children. Because guess what? We're going to exasperate our children in the flesh when we do things apart from abiding in Jesus. It's going to exasperate them. Now, this word, exasperate, arethizo, speaks of to excite, provoke, or irritate. Provoke or irritate. You're messing with little hearts. In Ephesians 6:4, different word, fathers, do not provoke, and the word is to provoke to anger, make them angry. Don't make your kids angry. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to get angry on their own because of sin, but don't you be the reason that they get angry by doing something wrong. You may do the right things and they may get angry. That's not provoking them to anger, okay? So here, we see this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. We have here, do not exasperate your children. What's the rationale? That they may not lose heart. We have a great God. He is concerned about the little hearts of the kids, those who are well-pleasing when they obey, those who mess up. He's concerned about their hearts. So many parents exasperating children, so many fathers doing so. I've seen it a lot, and it's heartbreaking to see. He says that they might not lose heart. The term lose heart means to be discouraged, to feel like giving up, to have a broken spirit. Now, concerning adults, think of broken spirit in terms of Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit who can bear? That's what adults think about a child. That may not lose heart. That's a terrible thing. Dads and moms are children. They are not adults. They do not have physical and moral and spiritual capability to mature and handle life. They are children, not little adults. What an awful thing to see a child with a broken spirit. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't irritate them. Don't excite them in a way that's sinful, as we'll see. And we'll talk about ways from Scripture that you could do that, ways we fall. Don't do that. Our children, by and large, should be joyful. And have you ever seen kids that never seem to be happy? They're always sad. Something's wrong. Could it be they're angry? Maybe from their own sin, but could it be from parents? Could it be they've lost heart? They've been provoked? Maybe. We don't know. The Lord knows. But we are commanded not to exasperate them. This works in all sorts of different relationships, right? We shouldn't be exasperating each other, right? But how much more our kids, right? Don't provoke them to anger. Don't cause their little spirits to give up. Children, they're children. Now, I can think of many examples, and there's some Bible teachers, they'll give you a million lists of things that provoke them, but it's all just practical stuff from the world. That's fine, but I think we should look at things from Scripture that reveal how a child could be provoked and learn from that. Let me share some things we're not to do, and there are evidences of not abiding in Jesus. And first of all, we should not show favoritism to different siblings. Think about it. Indeed, in Genesis, Jacob's favoritism provoked his other sons to anger towards Joseph and jealousy, and they were so angry they attempted to kill him. That's not good. Showing favoritism, okay? Now, we can show favoritism by not protecting a child against other siblings, right? We can show favoritism in all different ways, by not protecting them or favoring others. You know, some children are naturally likable and have great demeanors. And some are kind of hard and they're difficult. And you might tend to show favoritism towards the one that's naturally, by personality, is calm, but not so upset, right? We need to be watching over our kids also. Don't allow the older siblings, the stronger ones, to get away with treating younger ones in an ungodly manner. Don't do that. Don't let the younger ones manipulate or play the victim. So how else can fathers exasperate their children? They can exasperate by not providing for physical needs. You know, you're responsible for your family. We see very clearly that families are to take care of their widows. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, that's speaking of widows in the context, especially for those of their own household, he is denied the faith and is worse of an unbeliever. How much more for the children? You don't provide for the needs of your children? I'm talking about clothing and food and a place to be and to be alone, wherever it might be. You're worse than a non-believer. If that's the standard for our widows, how much more for our children, right? Okay, you could provoke them, little broken hearts, exasperate them. They're not going to go out and get a job and take care of stuff. You're their parents. They're children. You can also provoke them by not providing for their emotional needs, showing affection. You can provoke them by neglecting them, not listening or paying attention. You know, older women teaching their own to love their husbands, to love their children. You should love your children. If you don't show affection for your children and listen to them, you're neglecting them. And if you neglect your child, you're going to have a discouraged child or an angry child that's going to look elsewhere for those needs to be met. Especially if you've got a daughter and you're neglecting her, eventually she's going to find a place where those needs are met, okay? Don't neglect them. Don't exasperate them. Tell them you love them in the context of righteousness. Give them a hug, righteously a kiss. Love your children. How else can they exasperate? Well, also you want to listen to how the little souls have to say. Listen to their little hearts, right? Secondly, fathers can exasperate your children with their words. Criticizing, tearing down, belittling, joking. Little jokes that subtly demean a small child's heart. Little innuendos that don't build up and edify. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but set that which is good for edification and the need of the moment, that it gives grace to those who hear. How much more your children, right? I heard one man at our old church. He calls his little child the little rebel. And the kid can hear it. I'm like, you shouldn't be doing that. You don't call your child in front of other people my little rebel. And he meant it because the kid was out of control. But that was not the kid's problem. That was the parent's problem. Watch what you say around your children. They are not adults. They are children. They have very soft little hearts that will get very hard if you exasperate them. Don't do it. James 3 makes it clear that the tongue can cause great harm. It's a world of evil. It can tear down. Don't exasperate your children with your words, but build them up. This is for believers, by the way. It's for believers, right? Now, you can also exasperate them by having unreasonable and inconsistent standards. What would be one of the worst nightmares you could think of if God's standards changed? If God was a God who changed, and all of a sudden he's got different standards, that'd be horrible. But God does not change. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Now, there are circumstances where things change, where God leads you to do something else. I'm talking about standards. Don't be inconsistent. One pastor writes, there's no worse type of parent where one day he's in a kindly mood and is indulgent, allows the child to do almost anything he likes, but the next day flares up in rage. The child scarcely does anything at all. Inconsistent, evil, right? Don't be that way. It's going to hurt their little hearts. It's going to hurt them. And guess what? It's going to mess up with their relationship with coming to Jesus too. It's going to mess up their souls. Also, don't exasperate your children with false accusations. You know, we easily jump to conclusions at times. We think something's did. Oh, you did that. You know, we better know they did that for sure. Now, we may have inklings. I remember a time where I knew, and I'm sorry, Julie, I knew that Julie was possibly lying, but I hadn't caught her. And I wasn't going to discipline her for what I thought. I asked her, did you brush your teeth? You remember that one, right? And then I caught her not brushing her teeth, and I asked her, did she brush her teeth? She said, yes, and that brought about the discipline and the heart working on, okay? You do not want to falsely accuse them, even if you think they are. Make sure you actually see it. God does not falsely accuse us. He is very much against that. That will exasperate a child because you may be right most of the time, but the one time you're wrong and you discipline them when they didn't do it, you're going to mess their hearts up. Just pray, Lord, help me see it if it's really happening. Sure enough, it happened, all right? Okay. We can also exasperate, as we'll see, with lax or no discipline at all or excessive unreasonable discipline and consequences. Yes, children, we'll see in a minute, need consequences, but there's an avenue which they need to be restored. God restores his consequence. He restores us. I heard about this one kid. They took away his toys for like a month. Are you kidding me? He's a kid. Give him an opportunity to do what's right and help him, guide him, and give back those privileges and work through that. You got to be careful. You got to break the little hearts. Don't exasperate your children. Now, fathers, if you've done this, you confess and God will forgive you. Okay, so then we see that fathers are not to exasperate their children. And the reason why is because that they wouldn't lose heart. It's also a command. Notice there's another reason. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't make them angry. That doesn't mean that what you're doing, if it's right, if it makes them angry, that's wrong. Notice it's talking about doing wrong that causes them to be angered, okay? But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The term bring them up is used back in Ephesians 5:29. It's the word nourish. Nourish and cherish, right? Feed and nourish them. Provide tender care in the context of discipline and instruction of the Lord, okay? We need to instruct our children. We need to discipline our children. The term discipline here in the New King James, training, and this is in Ephesians, the word paideia, originally it means to educate. We get our word pedagogy, that means to educate children. Pedo speaks of children. We get our word pediatric, right? Okay, so it's talking about children, right? And here it's this process of tender nourishing for the purpose of training in godliness. Tender nourishing isn't an angry dad pulling out the paddle running after his kid. We're going to talk about spanking in a minute. But it's tender. It's in the context of love like God does with us. As we saw in Proverbs earlier, mothers are also responsible to teach, right? To instruct. Part of this instruction, as we'll see. So now when I talk about the subject of discipline or correction of children, we need to be careful here. First of all, again, it is the father's responsibility ultimately, but the mothers and fathers work together. They work as a team, right? One flesh team to discipline children. Now, unfortunately, in the evangelical church, discipline is a matter of pragmatism or preference. You know, you prefer timeouts, we prefer spanking, you use your hand, we use a switch, whatever works. We need to go to the Word of God. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there is still hope, and do not desire his death. What can we gather from this? First of all, we are to discipline our children. This is a command. And it says, do not desire his death. The implication is, first of all, there is a period of time in which there's hope. Discipline while there's hope. There's a window of time where the young heart is moldable through loving discipline in accordance with God's will and God's ways in abiding in Jesus. But that time is done. Wow, there's still hope. Train up in a child in the way he should go, even when he's older, he shall not depart from it. God has ordained a period of time in which the heart will respond. But there comes an age that they reach where, if you've not obeyed this command, it could become hopeless.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Wow, Greg. Every parent or potential parent should hear this.
You're right, Dave. Everybody should hear this. You see, God gives us everything we need for life and godliness. And so every parent and every potential parent should be in the Word of God listening to it so that we might know how to respond rightly as we raise our kids. And so with that in mind, I just want to encourage you, if you've missed any portions of this series, to call us and we'll be happy to get that to you. And please make plans to join us Monday because we'll look at the very touchy subject of discipline. So with that in mind, I'd just like to remind you that we're offering a pamphlet that my wife wrote concerning training up your children from the heart with many little practical examples. So if you like that, just get a hold of us, email us, call us, And just pray about giving a gift to cover the cost of the production of it and shipping. We would so greatly appreciate it. Okay, well, you don't want to miss Monday's broadcast, so make plans to join us as we conclude our look at what God has to say about raising our children.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.